Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Well, great to have you all with us this morning. Last week we celebrated our 10-year birthday anniversary as a church and all that God has done from a handful of people in a small community hall. I remember being at the very first meeting. And it was probably, I think maybe about 10 or 15 or so. Now we're a church on the database between all our campuses, four here and four. Hello to everyone online, our Canberra house and our Geelong house as well. They're watching online now. And everyone else who did come down with the cold and flu last week, it's just that time of year. I came down hard with the flu about 3 weeks ago. And then stepping into our 10-year birthday, everything was just bouncing off me. So take it as your immune system for this winter. In Jesus' name, God bless you and heal you. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you're watching sick, we actually do have a few people away who are unwell. But that is all good. That is life. And Jesus is building our immune system. Amen. But between our four campuses here, four up in Queensland on the database, we have about 1,400 people. From a group of 15 people to now a church about 1,400. God is truly amazing and He is faithful and He is good. Can we give God some praise for that? Amen. I felt to share a word to continue from last Sunday night, you know, what God has done, but now what He's looking for in the next 10 years, similar to what He looked for in the first 10, is more than just the call of God and the assignment of God presented before you. It's the person in you. Who are you in Him? The Spirit of God in you. Who is your spirit man? Because many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. I remember being in Bible college and the lecturer said, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, look behind you. Only one of you will make it in ministry. I thought, ouch, that's tough. That is tough. But I praise God. I still got many friends in ministry. It wasn't an easy journey. And can I just say right off the bat, this walk, this life is not easy if you haven't gathered that yet. But it is also good when it is done with God. And God uses our trials, our circumstances to form us, to shape us, to become more like His Son. The ultimate goal of a Christian isn't to have the white picket fence, two kids and a dog. It's to become more like His Son in the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus. So as we get into the Word, Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for Mama Judy. We thank You for Gary for supporting Judy in all these years as she ministered with us as well. We thank You, Lord, for this family. Bless them as they go. Bless this Word today. Help us be changed and transformed for Your glory. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to invite Judy back up at the end of the sermon as well to give an altar call to invite anyone who doesn't know Jesus yet. That's going to be exciting. So let's go to the screens. It is a word that I felt to continue on from last Sunday night, and it is titled, It's Your Turn. Whose turn is it? It's your turn. Say, it's my turn. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your turn. It's your turn. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to be focusing on the first couple of chapters of Judges, and I'm just going to fly through some chapters at the start. We're going to land on Gideon, which I spoke on last week, but we're going to approach it from different angles as well. Just a few things that's going to help us understand the Word of God this morning is context. Everything that you need to know in Scripture needs to come back to context. Context is everything. I remember my hermeneutics teacher, the art and science of understanding and interpreting Scripture. Without context, you can fall in the area of heresy. So context is important. Don't just cherry pick, but read chapters and books of Bibles and not just cherry pick things and take it as itself. You have not found anything, Siri. Siri tends to overtake my meetings and my preaching. Apple is watching and they're devising a plan. Judges, named as the form of leadership over Israel after Joshua's death, and the beginning of Israel's monarchy. God had never intended or wanted kings, but the people of God did. After 400 years of being led by these judges who God raised up to look after and deliver Israel from all their trouble, this is a book that is believed to be written by Samuel, And Judges describe how the Israelites conquer and occupy the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, and the struggle to live up to their covenant or their promise with God to be his people. This is a book that shows God's faithfulness to raise up judges or leaders to fight for his people, Israel, when they cried out to him after they rebelled and needed liberty from their enemies. God was wanting to raise up Israel to be a light to the nations, but the invitation to this calling waned back and forth each generation, dependent on whether they would follow God or follow the gods of their neighboring countries, and thus grieving God and letting Israel fend for themselves in their own strength, often failing and defeated, until they cry out to God once again, and he saves them through appointed judges, and later on, as we see in Scripture, through appointed kings, King Saul being the first king. Let's go to the next slide, Judges 2, verse 8 to 11. Judges 2, verse 8 to 11. It is the word of God, and the word is God, and the word was God, and the word dwelt among us and became flesh, Jesus. That's why we get excited about Scripture, amen? It's not just text in the book, it is God himself. It is the heart, the expression of God. So Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heresin, the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Just like Israel, we face a danger that we are one generation away from not knowing the Lord. But when you look at Scripture, it is amazing and great to see, and encouraging too, that there is always a remnant. When the prophet Elijah had run from Ahab and Jezebel, when his life was on ransom because of what he had done, there was this decree to kill the prophet Elijah, and he thought he was the only one. But God said there are 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee. There will always be a remnant. But if we're not careful as leaders of this generation to teach the next generation the ways of God, our children, our families, our society, we are a generation away further from knowing the Lord and what he has done and the truth of his love and his salvation. Who grew up learning RE, religious education, whether in primary school or high school? And this is not singling out or targeting anyone, but who grew up in school not learning a thing about RE? I think it's the next generation now, and perhaps some other ones as well. It is known now, Lisa McGinnis-Smith, who spoke at this platform 2 months ago, she said, for many years, she had the privilege and honour to volunteer and teach RE in a state school around Brighton area where she lived, and now they've pulled all of that back. And what's been introduced is just the minus of wokeness. God isn't looking for a great awakening. He's looking for a great awakening. Amen. We're not after wokeness. We're after an awakening. I'm going to unpack that very soon. Let's go to the next scripture. It says this. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of the enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge or the leader died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. As people of God, we have a responsibility to teach the next generation, to teach our peers, our generation, and above, the ways of the Lord. What is his decrees? What is his heart? What is his desires? What is his will? There's an interesting study, it's based on anthropology, the behavior and the values and the systems and the cycles of man. Who's heard of William Strauss and Neil Howe? It's something I felt to unpack. It's a generational study. I felt to unpack in June, perhaps a revival night series to pour out into the young adults of this generation, but it is going to bless all generations involved because we are all in this together. While we live, we're all in this together. But effectively, this study was released in 1990, looking back from the years of 1500s to current present day of that time. It's an interesting study. I've only heard one preacher unpack this, and he did such a great job. And I felt from the Lord to do this with our young adults as well, with us packed in the room. But effectively, there's this, every 20 years, there's a change of guard, a change of leadership. And there's this cycle where we see there's the heroes, the GI generation, born 1901 to 1924, the artists, the silent generation, born 1925 to 1942, the prophets, born, the baby boomers. Boomers, where you at? There you are. Born 1943 to 1960, the nomads, Generation X, born 1961 to 1981, make love, not war, peace, hippies, right? And then the next heroes, the millennial, it goes back around to heroes again, the millennial generation, born 1982 to 2004. And this study demonstrates, I've got some millennials at the back, I like that, demonstrates when we hit the peak of our lives at 40 to 60, We influence society at our best and our most during that part of our lives. And so we're stepping into now, the hero is stepping into a time in this study with Howie and Strauss. What we see that coincides with this is there was a crisis in most recent history of World War II, 1925 to 1945. There was a time of high civic values and things go well. Born between, this is the post-war boom, 1946 to 1960. How innocent were the 50s? How amazing were those songs? Let's twist again, like we did last summer. It's way before my time, but it's stuff that we danced to in primary school discos. It's just the innocence of the 50s, right? And then we see the awakening. The Consciousness Revolution, 1961 to 1981. Who's seen Jesus Revolution movie? And for some of you, maybe it was a trip down memory lane where it was the time of the awakening of the mind, of yourself becoming awake. But sadly, the hippies and the people at that time thought it was through drugs and LSD, and that's how you get your spiritual awakening. Then there's the unraveling, 1982 to 2006. You get the latchkey kids in the 80s. Things just, maybe we want to challenge what has been before. And now we're coming, and as they predicted, they wrote this book in the 90s, this study, published it. The next crisis, 2008 to 2028. We've had a 1 in 100 year crisis with a pandemic called COVID. And now it's time for us, as the heroes and millennials, to step up and to usher in the next high, and then the next awakening. This is an interesting thing. I'm not going to, I think it's going to be a two-part series. We're going to move on this morning from that. But according to scriptures, God would raise up judges. God would raise up leaders to teach the people of God, teach Israel how we're meant to do this life. Because as people, we know that we can be actually quite fickle. I remember doing a study on Christian media and media around the world, and the study shows this mind, this coconut of ours, can easily be influenced. A TV ad, a news report, and then, yep, I've bought in. It's actually counterculture, and it's unpopular to go against the main narrative. And that's why we saw in the last 3 years why the world was divided. Whether you take a certain medication or you don't, whether you segregate people from buildings, from restaurants, churches, or you don't. Because the media was being used as a vehicle to usher in a narrative that to say, if you disagree with what we're saying, then you are deeply in the wrong. And when it comes to social issues of today, if you disagree with the idea that There is only, if there, we people can be non-binary, there's more than two genders, then you are labeled as a bigot. I 100% want to just say this, that we love people of all kinds and backgrounds and all the challenges that they go through. But we will always make a stand when it comes to the Word of God to say there is, with love, and I want to be mindful and sensitive here as well. Understand that when we speak on this, we need to draw the line somewhere. But I'm also conscious and aware that we at times will get people coming to our buildings. What I would love for us as a church is to help them feel so loved and so welcome, like we do with the drug addict, like we do with those who just come out of prison, and love on them, show them the Word of God, the truth of who God is, the promise of a great life. Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. And in this life, if you were to lay it down for him, you shall receive 100-fold. With persecutions, that is a condition though. And it is a narrow road to life. But if you're willing to go on that journey, we'll be here with you. So I want to make it clear, we love people of all backgrounds. And we prophesied a few weeks ago that we're going to see people, the next Jesus people movement, the next influx of people that will come into the kingdom, just like back in the 60s and 70s, will be the least that you would expect in the four walls of the church. Back then it was the hippies. Those who were bare feet, who had beards and beads in churches, they were labeled the Jesus freaks. You might see people of all backgrounds, as we do, but in particular, I do feel what the media, what the world is saying, the church is against the homosexuals and things like that. I go, no, God loves them. God loves them way too much to leave them the way they are. We will accept them here, love on them, and we will show them the truth of the word. Amen. 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 But it takes courage. It takes leadership. It takes you and me to say yes to the call of God, to not compromise. You see, the issue with Israel is they had the temptation to follow the gods of their neighbors. Oh, that truth sounded good. Oh, that truth is somewhat convenient. Oh, that truth can satisfy my flesh and my needs. But it's not the truth of the world that we follow. It's God's truth. You shall know the truth, Jesus, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Women, if you are unsure at this point, did I get that wrong? Yeah, there we are. In case you're wondering, if you're new to this church, we 100% advocate and believe for in women, in ministry, in preaching and teaching of the gospel. I got a random email to say, you guys have got this wrong by letting women lead and pastor and preach. Well, let's just unpack something from scripture. And it says this in Judges 4:4-9. Now Deborah, everyone say Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, great name, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to the Mount of Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands, into Barak's hands. But Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. But listen to this. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Women, we need you in the kingdom of God. We need you to step up, to prophesy, to be courageous, to take action, to lead, to strategize. We see here in this example, Barak was nervous. He had 10,000 with him to go and capture this king. But if you read on in that chapter, this king was fleeing, his men had died, his chariots had been taken over, and he was resting in a tent. And this woman, not Deborah, I forgot her name, forgive me, but as he laid his head to sleep, she got a tent peg and went, whoa, that was bad, I'm sorry, team. And drove that tent peg in the temple of his head, thus killing the king, and her as a woman getting the credit and the glory. There is something to be said about women who step up and say yes to the call of God. You might be now thinking, if you know scriptures, what Paul says in the New Testament about how women should be silent. Let's address that for a minute. Paul was talking to the culture of that time to say, if you have questions, then don't speak up. In fact, theologians also believe that as men, remember the Bible says, in those days in the New Testament, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So in church services, men and women actually were allowed to prophesy. But Paul was speaking to a certain culture where perhaps the man, the husband would prophesy, but the woman would not understand fully. So he was saying, rather than just pulling him up on the spot, maybe making him embarrassed, go home and ask him in private, where it's probably a bit more appropriate. It's a cultural thing. It does not apply today. In fact, our movement, Australian Christian Churches, formerly known as the Assemblies of God Australia, was started by a woman, for those who don't know, Sarah Jane Lancaster, who preached the word, who discipled new believers, healed the sick, went out on the streets, told people about Jesus, gave them the truth, gave them tracts. This movement is accredited to a woman, 1908, I believe, Sarah started her first meeting. Praise God for women. Amen? So the Lord is testing us now. Let's go to the next slide. The Lord is testing us. I think I sent the wrong order, I'm sorry. These are the nations the Lord left to test. Remember, it's your turn now. All those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. There is a reason why God doesn't just come in and go and wipes out every single enemy. Number one, he loves the people, but he hates the spirit behind. Those people who are doing these things that are evil, the demonic spirit, the demonic realm. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal, Hermon to Lebo Hamath, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. He is leaving behind some issues. You're asking, why is the world going to hell in a handbasket? Why is the world going nuts and crazy? Well, he wants you to participate. He wants you to be trained up in battle. He wants you to engage. He wants you to have a voice with love. He wants you, yes, this might sound surprising, to actually go through some persecution. To go through persecution that will sharpen you, that will make you more lean and stronger in your spirit, that will smooth out those rough edges of your character. To respond like Christ, to respond like Jesus. Jesus said, if someone hits you on the cheek, give them an uppercut back with the right hand. No, what does he say? Turn the other cheek. If someone asks for your coat, give them your jacket. If he asks you to go 1 mile, go 10 with him. I had the honor of driving David Hogan around last week. And it was amazing that the local hotels were booked out 5 minutes away. So we found ourselves going to Chadston, 25 minutes away. But I can see why. Because God was using that time, that drive time, 25 minutes up and back, 25 minutes back, to pour out from this father in the faith. He would ask me questions that rarely gets asked. So son, tell me, how's your family? How's your wife? How's the kids? How's the ministry? How's the finances? What makes you happy? What makes you mad? And he would just pour out all this amazing life advice about ministry, how to stay the course, longevity in ministry. He said something I didn't like, but I understand the wisdom. He said, I've seen too many people burn out. I asked him, what would you say to a young pastor like me? He said, I've seen too many burn out. Take the slow and tedious road. Go, oh man, you've got so much to do. Go at the pace of your family. Go at the pace of your team. You can do it on your own, or you can do it. You can do more together with a crew. And he was saying, going home from the nearest international airport, 9 hours away, there were three military checkpoints and the three random cartel checkpoints. And he said, during those times, I asked the grandson, you were born into this. Are you used to it? He goes, you never get used to it, but you just know what to do. And so when the cartels rock up with their guns, they respond. He goes, we're not pushovers, but we need to be firm with love and just preach the gospel. And they realize these guys are legit. We'll let them through. They have a Bible on the dashboard, Jesus is Lord hat, and they preach the gospel and they go through. There's been many other crazy instances where guns were pulled to their head and they're told to drive somewhere. And then in much prayer, God lets them go. But he said this to me, which I didn't share last Sunday night. I go, do you carry? A little Glock, do you carry? He goes, oh, we prayed about it. We fasted for 30 days. We felt from God not to have that, although we could if we wanted to. They said that many times over the years, their lives have been saved because they weren't carrying a gun. The Lord said to him, I am your exceeding and great reward and I am your protector. Though the Bible says, we walk in the flesh, we war not in the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What weapons of warfare are you using? Is it a weapon of unforgiveness, hatred, and anger? Or is it the weapons of God? Is it the fruits of the Spirit? And he said to me, David said to me, son, that's not just with the cartels, that's with everything. You can't let other people get the best of you. Yeah, you might get mad, you might get angry, but you never, never operate out of anger and frustration. Remain calm, remain composed, and operate by the Spirit of God. It's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. So the Lord is now training you. You're asking, why are we going through all these craziness? He's actually wanting to see how you respond. Over the years, I've seen people receive their miracle. I can think of one instance right now, but I won't say the name. This lady received a tremendous miracle. In fact, 4 years ago, last time we had David Hogan come through, an atheist walked through the tunnel. An atheist. She fell down to the floor, flat, under the power of God. We didn't have a catcher nearby. She fell down with fibromyalgia. She came back up, healed. And I heard this story in a Bible study group. I go, wow, that's amazing. A year later, I asked, where is this woman? And the leader said to me, sadly, she's middle-aged. She went to study at a local university and got swept up in the whole wokeness and, the church is wrong and, kind of like the rainbow narrative. Got swept up in that, stopped going to church, and sadly, last I heard, that condition had come back. Sometimes things are used by God. He allows things to happen for us to return back to Him. There is a goodness in God when we follow Him. He is kind to the just and the unjust, the Bible says. He lets the rain fall on the just and unjust and their crops grow. But there is another level of joy, blessing, and abundance when we walk with Him. So I say this because the Lord is now training us for battle. Not the battle of, punching someone out if we disagree, but responding in love and showing them the way. Amen. But I feel as a warning, Like the Bible says, if a brother is caught in sin, restore them gently, but watch your own conduct, lest you fall into the same trap and temptation. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? All right. Now we get to Judges 7 with Gideon, with God. You are the majority. Everyone say, I am the majority. When God is on my side, and he is, it says this, with God, you are the majority. Judges 7:1-7. You may not have it, sorry. Judges 7:1-7. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, he got given this nickname because as God was preparing Gideon to take on the Midianites, as we'll soon see here, he was so numerous that they were like flies, that you couldn't count them. They were like a swarm of flies that you couldn't count how many heads of soldiers and chariots. That God had asked Gideon, will you first clean up your own backyard and destroy this idol statue of Baal? And so Jerubbaal is his nickname now, which means to contend with Baal. And all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or all Israel would boast against me, saying, my own strength has saved me. He's saying, if you go now and if you win, because the Spirit of God is on you, then they will take credit for themselves. So I'm going to cut down this army into a smaller number. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. It is important who we choose to go into battle with, because fear is contagious, but also faith is contagious. So now Gideon has the size of an army, just the same as Barak. He's thinking now perhaps, all right, 10,000 is good. Deborah had said and given the instructions to Barak, take the 10,000 men, capture that king. You're still up against an innumerable amount of people, an army that is so big, but 10,000, maybe, okay. To make things even better, the Lord said to Gideon, verse 4, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water. Glenn, if I can have that water, and Lee can pass me the sword. I showed this to the Sunday night crowd last week, but I think it's important for us to see this illustration. Take them down to this water. You look like such a triad, like an Asian gangster. Thank you, Glenn. There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. 10,000 men, you think that is maybe okay. But God says, no, too much. They'll take the glory for themselves. I'm going to do something so seemingly impossible. In fact, in our own strength is impossible. But with God, remember, you are the majority. So this church, last 10 years, as we grew, a couple of hundred people, took on stadiums. We've taken on, in Europe, helping out Ben Fitzgerald, and some of you guys have gone to Europe to launch the first of the Awakening meetings and come to the subsequent ones as well. And in 2018, Marvel Stadium in this city, a church of this side hosting a large gathering like that. God's mighty 300. And so we have here, let me just get ready for a minute. Ten thousand men, with their weapons, with their armor, ready to fight. But God says, this is too many. And so God gives an instruction and says, those who drink from the water directly are not to go with you. So they do this. It's good water, Glenn. But those who cup the water into their hands and lap it like dogs are to go with you. What's the difference? God is watching to see who will be watchful. The Bible says, be sober and watchful, for your enemy is like a roaring lion, roaming around, looking to whom he shall devour. Jesus said, be prayerful and watchful, lest you fall into sin and temptation. In fact, there's other scriptures that talks, there's many scriptures that talk about being watchful and awake. In Corinthians 1 Corinthians 16, 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men and be strong. Colossians 4, 2, continuing steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in with thanksgiving. 1 Peter 1, 13, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be watchful. In fact, Ephesians says, be awake and sober-minded. Be awake. Not woke, be awake. Be awake to the things of God, to the word of God, to the voice of God. In fact, on that note, Dylan, can you come up? Thank you, Norman. I got really inspired. You see, you got to understand here. As Gideon's 300 were then commissioned by God to take a burning torch, a empty vessel, and a trumpet to scare the enemy at the turn of the watch, the second watch of the night. It was around midnight. And the soldiers were startled and surprised at this surprise attack, that they turned to each other because they already knew that God was sending Gideon and his men. Gideon overheard a dream as he spied into the camp of the enemy to hear that there was a dream of this big barley loaf coming through to knock down the enemies, and they were trembling in fear. Can I suggest to you, if you're walking with God and you're on fire with God, you're close with the Lord, you can actually be the devil's worst nightmare. You can actually be a bad dream for the devil the moment that you wake up and step out for him. And so we see Gideon, 300, they scare the enemy to the point that they're confused and they start to put their swords towards each other and they knock themselves out. How do you take out the enemy? By the Spirit of God. Just a side little note. I got interested in the cartels as Hogan was telling me all the dealings he's had with them in trying to win them to the Lord and all the craziness and the war that they're living in at the moment. It's a 7:30 p.m. curfew because the cartels are at war with each other, and the government has said now to them, if you're found outside 7:30 at night or after, it's either the cartels will shoot you or we will. I thought, wow, this is nuts. They're living in a war zone. So I was watching Sicario number 2 for adults, and they had this strategy. These Americans, the government, they thought, how do we really just pay back for all the terrorism acts and things that they've done? They said, you make them go at war with each other. The enemy can be defeated when they go at each other. They get confused when they're at each other. Anyways, I brought Dylan up because he's got an amazing story to share on hearing the voice of God, because it takes a spirit-filled man to hear the voice of God and then, just as importantly, to go and act on it. So Dylan, share for a few minutes what happened.
Thank you, Pastor Alex. What I'm going to share with you is really to do with, if you feel like you've got nothing left, you're in a really good position. Mainly because God does his best work through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just simply us being available. And also, if you want to break new ground, if you want to step out on faith, you have to do something different. And if anyone knows me, they know I'm a little bit different. Usually it's my shoes they point out, they're a bit different. But I'll give you a bit of context. The thing that I've got in my pocket relates to the story. It's a symbol. This is a little mini one, so it makes a really good keyring or a nice hat. But the symbols here in church, they're the symbols that my company makes. And Lisa and I started a symbol company, which was kind of nuts because I was a teacher. I was making really good money, but I felt called out of that to make symbols, which I know lots about because I'm a drummer, but I know nothing about making them. I know nothing about marketing. I'd never run a business before. This is our first business. Everyone thought I was nuts, which is usually a really good sign. If people say that's a silly idea, if you hear it from God, then it means it's a really good idea. Mainly because it requires you just to say, here I am, use me. So recently, there's a lot of really great examples of how God has just come through sometimes and a lot of the time when I least expect it and in the most wacky of ways. You know, God does work in mysterious ways. And I think part of being a Christian is embracing the mystery and not understanding entirely what is going on, but just go with it. Just get out of the way. Just go with it. So recently there was a church in Queensland called Favour Church. A really great name because God really showed his favour to me in this in a situation where the church ordered some symbols and I thought that was brilliant. We had a really good conversation, but I'd had on my heart to go to Manila, to the Philippines. Yeah, and people are like, what do you want to go to Manila? I'm like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm meant to go there. I tried kicking in the doors, not literally, because I don't want to do that, but I tried reaching out to people, the usual ways, reaching out to people on Instagram, trying to build relationships for no other
Manila
reason.
Manila is the home base of Favour Church. It started in Manila.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you have roots with the Philippines as well, right? So, and Pastor Alex has such a great role in this too. It's just amazing how God just lines everything up. If I tried to do it, I'd mess it up. I'd offend people. I don't know. I just would mess it up. So essentially, this church said, oh, hey, we'll link you in with our church in Manila. And I was really excited about that. And I tried to start doing things. And then nothing happened. So I just kind of put it in the back burner and just thought, well, that's not meant to happen. Maybe I was just thinking and, you know, crazy thoughts. So nothing happened. And then suddenly they reached out to me again. They said, oh, hey, we got this conference in Manila, our Favour conference, and our drummer would really need some cymbals. Can we order some? And that was great. It was going really well. But then for some reason, I guess we booked a courier, which is normally super reliable. They would have got the cymbals there in time, but they failed and they didn't get the cymbals there in time. And the pastor, children's pastor, Jake, he reached out to me and he said, dude, where are the cymbals? You know, I'm here in Manila already. The people are waiting. They haven't got them. So I looked at Lisa and usually everything starts with, I've been thinking. And usually the response from Lisa is, uh-oh. Here we go. So I said, look, I need to go to Manila. And she's like, all right, cool. Yeah. So I had my finger hovering over the buy the flight button. This was Tuesday night. I was going to leave on Thursday morning. And so I paid for the flight and immediately thought, what am I doing? What have I just done? I mean, the money I'd spent was meant to go for buying more round metal objects like this. And, you know, any business person will tell you cash flow is really important. And if you blow all your money on stuff and don't actually buy, you know, your actual things that you're selling, you're in trouble. So immediately I'm like, oh, Lord, what have I done? And I'm driving to the airport and I'm thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing going to Manila? I should be staying in Melbourne. I should be working on my business, you know, usual kind of natural kind of thoughts, natural thinking. But supernaturally, in that moment, I swear, my phone went cha-ching, which is through Shopify. Is the
on the way to the airport?
Yeah. So on my Red Symbols website, and a sale came through that more than covered what I'd just spent and what I was about to spend. So I'm just like, okay, Lord, you're doing something here. You're at work. And look, I had no idea how much God was at work. Because my friend, he rang me up and said, oh, Dylan, you got to get on Instagram, you got to work, you got to get all contact all the churches, all the drummers, all, you know. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I mean, in the natural, that's what any business person would do. They'd be like, well, I'm spending 6 days in Manila, I need to make some contacts, I need to get things moving. I felt strongly from God, just stop, just let me handle this. And I'm like, wow, okay. It's scary though, right? Because even when you're in ministry, you're stepping out constantly, you're doing things that don't make sense. Okay, so I arrive in Manila, I've got this big bag of cymbals, I'm walking around, it weighs like 20 kilos. So I'm, you know, doing some deadlifts while I'm at it. I'm like, Lord, and I swear every time I do anything like this, so if I go to America to connect with drummers or to do anything that's a bit out of the ordinary, immediately I'll get this constant attack of like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing here? You're crazy. And I have to always say, Lord, please help me. I start praying in tongues and I just say, Lord, I'm giving you this symbol business. I give you the symbol company. It's not mine. I'm just a steward of this. I don't own this. This is yours. And then I rock up to the venue thinking, what am I doing here? What's going to happen? I'll just drop the symbols and I'll be in Manila for like 6 days. What do I do? Lord's just like, just go with it. Relax. Just go with it. Embrace the chaos. So I'm walking into this big venue and this guy comes up to me. He's like, oh, you're Dylan, you're the guy with the cymbals. And it was the operations manager for Favor Church in Manila. We went and had breakfast, we hung out, we chatted. And he took me and took me to the people that were waiting for the cymbals. And, oh, wow, they were so excited. It's almost like God had prepared the way for me. So here I'm at this massive conference, all these people, and I felt kind of lonely, but it's amazing how God just kept bringing people up to me and connecting with me. But the craziest thing was, the week before, you were at the ACC conference, right?
Yeah, about 2 weeks prior.
Fairly recent to it. So normally I'm really don't want to go up to pastors when they're at conferences because I know they're really busy and I don't want to be that guy that monopolizes their time, you know, whatever. I sort of would lack confidence in that. But I'm talking to Pastor Alex about what had happened via text. And he's like, oh, go say hello to Pastor James. I met him and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I went up to Pastor James and I said, hey, I'm Dylan. I'm from Fire Church in Carrum Downs. And I was expecting him to kind of go, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. And he was like, oh, yeah, Fire Church. That's the pastor. And he grabbed Jake and said, this is the pastor we met, this really cool Filipino guy from Melbourne. And they were like, just like, wow. And so it's funny because then I told him the story about how I was driving to the airport and then a sale came in to cover this whole thing. And then a whole bunch of other things happened where I was meeting all these drummers and being able to speak into their life and encourage them. I went out to dinner with Nico, who was the drummer who was receiving the cymbals, and he and his girlfriend were there, and we were just able to, I was just able to encourage them in their relationship and pray over them, and it was really cool. Like, all these things happened that I could never imagine happening. But I have to admit, because you and I were chatting, you gave me the confidence to go up to Pastor James. And again, that could have just been just a casual conversation, but then in the last session, I'm in my hotel room maybe an hour before and I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like going. I'm really tired. God's like, you have to be there. You have to get off your backside and get to that conference. And I'm like, okay. And you know when you go to conferences, sometimes you get to that point where you just like, you hit the wall and you're just really, really tired. And so it has to be God. It has to be God that is going to do something. And in the previous session, I was kind of like half-heartedly raising my hands because I was exhausted. I was being a bit of a wuss. So I went to that last session and my hands were up in the air and God was really moving. And then there's a moment where Pastor James grabbed the mic and I didn't think anything of it. And he said, oh, hey, we've had this guy come from Indonesia to conference. And everyone's like, yeah. And then he's like, and we've had this guy come from Melbourne in Australia who owns a cymbal company to hand deliver cymbals to our drummer. And everyone's like, yeah.
Talk about customer service, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's me. And I went red. And he said, Dylan, stand up. So I stood up and I'm like,
2,000 people there.
Yeah. And it's like, And it was just everyone was looking at me. And I'm like, I feel really shy, you know. But then he said, you know, and he told the story. And I'm like, you can't feel lonely in the Philippines, I don't think. Because people were coming up to me and shaking my hand and saying, thank you for bringing the symbols. But the other cool thing is I'd really wanted to have our symbols, obviously, to go to some other churches. Equippers Church pastor was there, and also the Belonging Co. pastor was there, Henry Seeley. Henry Seeley, I've known him since I was like this big, and he's really spoken into my life without probably him realizing. But the cool thing is I'm standing up and I see him turn around and look, and I'm like, oh, wow, God, you're amazing. You got our brand, a symbol brand, in front of Henry Seeley. If I tried to do it, he'd be like, oh, that's just some guy trying to sell junk, you know. But God did it. So my challenge to you is look at areas in your life that you are headbutting the wall, like you just cannot get anywhere. You just feel like you need to kick down doors, but nothing is happening. And give that to God and just see what he does. See what he does. Yep.
So good to stay here, Dylan. Let's be up on our feet now. Mama Judy, can you come to the platform as well? We're going to do an altar call for a few different things. Number one being what Dylan had just shared and stepping out for God. When can I ask, have you stepped out for God? That was so risky. In fact, some of our greatest rewards, if you look back in your own life and look at the life of others as well, the greatest rewards that they've ever experienced was off the back of sometimes the greatest risks they've ever took. And so I see, sense by the Spirit of God in the room today, He's inviting you, firstly, to make a public declaration to say, yeah, you know what, God, maybe has been a while since I've taken a risk for you, and you've been whispering in my ear, into my spirit, and saying, son, daughter, will you do this? But you've been putting it off. God is merciful and He is so good. Before Gideon got to the point of doing the 300 men amongst a countless sea of enemies, God was that merciful that He met Gideon by fire when Gideon said, if this is true, Lord, will you receive this offering of meat and broth? And fire consumed that. He was so good that Gideon still needed confirmation. He said, God, if you really want me to do this, because this is so scary, then will you let me wake up the next morning with this fleece on the ground, fully soaked, and the rest of the ground dry? And so God did that. He wrung out the water. But then he thought, oh, maybe the sheep's wool just absorbs the dew and the ground dries. Lord, if it's okay with you, maybe one more time, the next morning, can it be the opposite, where the ground is wet, but the wool fleece is dry? And so the next morning, God is so merciful, so patient with us, and He gave us that confirmation. God is inviting you right now to take a step of faith as a symbol and an act to say, God, I'm ready. So if that's you, let's fill this front, and we're going to pray with you. I'm going to get Dylan to come pray and impart as well on the microphone. So come on. This is an invitation for you online as well watching. And then I'm going to pass on now to Judy for anyone who doesn't know the voice of God to take steps like this.
Okay, so anyone who's here today that hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, I want to speak to you about your eternity. This earthly body will pass away. The Bible says that there's appointed time for death and then the judgment. So everyone is going to die. And I'm not being depressing. This is your eternity at stake. But your spirit will live forever and it will go to one or two places, heaven or hell. And the only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Not by works, you can't do anything to earn it. So you need to repent of your sins, because we all fall short of the glory of God. Turn away from your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you believe with your heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead, He took your sins on the cross, you will, and declare with your mouth that he rose from the dead on the third day, you will be saved. Okay, so it's you make Jesus Lord of your life, you ask Him into your heart, and you can come forward and say a prayer. I'll get everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, And if that's you that the Holy Spirit is speaking to, just raise your hand. If now, today's is not, tomorrow's not guaranteed. You don't know if you're, you know, if this is your last day on this earth. So I encourage you to make certain of your eternity today. Today is the day. So is there anyone here who would like to accept Jesus? Just raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone out there that hasn't made a personal commitment to Jesus? Now, don't be embarrassed. This is an important moment in your life. And if there are those who have walked away from Jesus, maybe you want to come forward and make a recommitment to be on fire for him, because Jesus said, if you're hot, you've got to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And that's pretty tough. So you've got to be hot or cold, and we want you to be hot and on fire for the Lord. So if that was you, come forward to the prayer team and we'll pray for you. And just come up to the front and be, just don't be bold. Sorry, we'll say this prayer together. Father God, I'm sorry for my sins. I turn away from them. I repent. And I ask Jesus to come into my life. Make him Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that he took my sins on the cross when he died. And he has made me righteous with God. So we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And we ask you into our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mum Judy. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you're still in your seat, we kindly invite you now to come to the front. There's no delaying it, can I kindly suggest? Why delay any further? There is a time and moment that is appointed for us to experience death. And we don't know when that is. And God is saying, will you come and get right? Will you come and have the peace that I've purchased on the cross for you? So as we pray, you're welcome to come to the front, but I've asked Dylan now to just pray an impartation of everyone here, in particular in the front, to say, yeah, we're willing to go at your voice. All hands to heaven, let's just pray.
Lord God, I pray for favour, Lord. I pray for an increase in faith, Lord, in the areas of our lives where we're struggling, Lord, where we've put things on the back burner and where we've given up. I pray today, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, you just fill people to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that where there is weakness, where there is lack of faith, lack of trust, I pray that you just fill those areas of us, Lord. I pray you fill us with overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that when we walk into our workplace, when we walk into our schools, when we walk into our business, Father, I pray there will just be an overwhelming sense of faith and trust in you, knowing that you are moving supernaturally, Lord. It is not about us. It is about giving you the glory. It's about giving you the praise. It's about lifting up your name. And I pray, Father, that if there's something today that is bothering anyone in this room, I pray, Father, that they will just grab that. I pray that they will grab that and they will say, in Jesus' name, you must move, you must break, you are gone in Jesus' name. Supernaturally, Lord, you are moving. I pray, Father, for relationships in this house that are struggling. Lord, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll move supernaturally in those relationships. In the natural, it seems impossible. In the natural, it seems like it is done and broken. But Lord, supernaturally, through the power of your Holy Spirit, our relationships are being changed, Lord. Relationships are being mended. Relationships are being healed. And Lord, where there is sickness, I pray, Father, that rather than trying to embrace that sickness in the natural and trying to kick it, I pray supernaturally, Lord, you begin to just pour out healing. I pray supernaturally you begin to just pour out your favor on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Not so we can be glorified, not so church can be glorified, but Lord, so you can be glorified. Move today, Lord Jesus. Show us your favor. Show us your Holy Spirit moving supernaturally in us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, God. As Dylan experienced in his most recent adventure with you, even if it doesn't make sense, Lord, but we stay committed to your word, committed to your requests to follow it through and see it through, just like Gideon. Even if it doesn't make sense, Lord, even if it looks like we're the minority, but with God, with you, Lord, we know we are the majority. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for it says, but my righteous, you all are righteous by the blood of Jesus, but my righteous one will live by faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. We thank you for an impartation of faith. We thank you, Lord, for an impartation of boldness and courage to say yes to the call of God in our lives, say yes even to the small promptings that doesn't make sense. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for a fresh Holy Spirit fire upon people and boldness and courage to say yes to the call. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, thank you, church, for coming out this morning. Everyone watching online, we've got tonight's service at 5 p.m. with Lee Wong. We're going to lay hands on the sick. So invite your family and friends. Say hi to someone you've never met before. And we'll see you during the week for our midweek gatherings as well. God bless you, church. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front and we'll pray with you as well. If you've given your heart to Jesus, please let us know on the screens or come to the front and we'd love to meet you and pray with you. God bless you, church.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.